It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 174 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
We're at a really interesting point, I think, in this X-Wing season. We just recently in June had a points rebalancing where we got to see a lot of different changes to point values across all seven factions in the game.
Right, and before we really have the appropriate time to process points adjustments and new ships being added, you know, we have some big events coming up really quickly. Of course, I'm thinking about Gen Con, which is just a few weeks away now. And so we have to pretty quickly figure out, okay, what is actually good? What do we want to be playing competitively? And that's a really tough question to answer right now.
And so we decided it would be a good idea to evaluate the game as we see it right now, particularly looking at the extended format, since all the major tournaments coming up, Gen Con, all the Grand Championships, as well as the World Championships are going to be using the extended format. We're going to go through and give rankings to the game's seven factions to say where we think they are at power-wise and in the metagame.
Yeah, so let's get right to it. All right, so I thought this power rankings would be a fun way to, you know, help steer me in the right direction for list building for Gen Con, you know, maybe rule some things out so I don't waste time trying to practice that because I only have a few weeks to figure out something good.
Well, and I think it's a kind of an interesting thought experiment for the two of us here, because even though we, you know, do evaluations of all of the game's seven factions, and I feel like neither of us is really limited to playing one faction, we tend to have affinities for certain playstyles. So, you know, right now I'm really big into the Republic. Carson, you've been on the Resistance for a while now.
Right. Well, and this one's going to be a little different, too, because usually when we do these rankings, you know, of course, Tim and I are biased, but, you know, I try to look through a bunch of results data to see what the trends are. But we don't really have any data yet. And so, you know, I think Gen Con's going to be really the first major tournament for these new points and new ships. So we have to, you know, use our biases and just look at the raw materials here for what we have to build with to form some opinions that hopefully will prove right.
And hopefully this will be fun for you guys listening because, you know, we're going to give our rankings of the seven factions here. We'll definitely get some information once Gen Con rolls around and we see some more Grand Championships close. So we're going to give our list and maybe we'll be totally off. Maybe we'll be right in some areas and wrong in some other ones. So that's just something to keep an eye out for. But I think we should start by working our way from the bottom up. So we talk about the faction we rank the lowest and then work our way up to that number one faction.
Right. And this is kind of an interesting one to start with because for me, I have spent a decent amount of time list building with this faction. And I just, you know, every time I just always end up 10, 15 points over of what I want, which I think is a pretty good marker of a faction that's kind of lower in the power rankings.
Yeah, I mean, so Scum and Villainy has some strong Initiative 5 options, and they've got some very like solid ship chassis. And since this is one of the factions that transitioned over from the first edition of the game, they actually have a pretty wide pool of ships to pull from.
Right, and they were perhaps the strongest faction starting off second edition. But most of those strong ships have been pretty heavily nerfed through points updates in January, and they still haven't really recovered. Although the reasons to look at this faction kind of still stayed the same. You know, you have those good I-5s, you have Boba Fett, Guri, old Tarok. Now Ketsu's, you know, doing a little bit better.
But I mean, right now there's just so many factors holding Scum and Villainy back. They have, you know, for a faction identity that's supposed to be kind of, you know, all about tricks and maybe control effects and disrupting your opponent's synergies, there's just not a lot of options in the faction that are viable or cost effective right now. So we just look to the ships that are generally good offensively, like Boba or Guri. And we're not looking at ships that have those strong control effects so much.
Right. I mean, so overall, this faction's still suffering from those points updates in January. They also, you know, their I6 options, when you're comparing them to the other factions, they just really don't compare very favorably. you know, Fenrau's decent. He's, you know, your initiative six repositioner ace, but he's really pricey at 68 points and only has four hold to back that up. Can't put any more hit points on there with modifications because he doesn't have a modification slot. And so when you look at, well, you know, some of these other factions are bringing really impactful initiative six options, that Fen just doesn't quite compare there.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad because Fenrau is really the only AC initiative six option that Scum has. A lot of the other initiative six ships like Dengar or Han are not so AC in their playstyle. So they aren't able to leverage that initiative six in the same way that other ace ships like Sunterfell or even Wedge Antilles are able to do. And comparing Fenrau, given that he's the Scum's best option, comparing him to ships like Sunterfell, which are, you know, really inexpensive, you know, toe for toe, they're probably not as good if they cost the same. But since Fen costs so much more than a lot of the other good I6s, it's just really hard to justify flying him in a list in Scum where you could just go to a different faction and have a better I6.
Right. So that kind of does it for Scum. You know, one thing that Scum does have going for them is they have really good initiative five ships. So if the meta does move away from initiative sixes being pretty common for ace play to the initiative fives, which there is the possibility of that. We do see some new initiative fives popping up through this points rebalance and new ships coming out. And so then I do think Scum has a chance in competing there.
All right, so moving on to our sixth place on our list, we have the Separatists, which, I mean, kudos to them for ranking higher than Scum and Villainy on our list because they have a pretty limited pool of ships since they're such a new faction to the game.
Right, I mean, I was really surprised to put Scum at the bottom just because they have so many options. But when you're looking at actually playable options or putting it together into playable lists, I think the Separatists have more options there. You know, the Separatists are now even more focused on just that one strategy, the swarm, more so than ever. But within that, they do have a decent amount of diversity. Now they have the Vultures and the Hyenas being really efficient platforms. You know, the Vultures are now the cheapest swarm option at 19 points, which is a crazy good value.
Well, and we've seen recently, too, the options expanded for, you know, munitions options for the Separatists have gone up with the Hyena class fighter recently being released, which is a really solid platform. It can synergize well with those Vulture classes because they both share the same ship ability and can, you know, share calculate tokens to nearby ships. These ships are a great value on their own. They're also excellent munitions carriers, so they can leverage munitions like energy shell charges or other missiles and use them really effectively. And you don't have to really invest a lot of points to get a decent Hyena class loaded out with some good munitions.
Right. And another efficient ship they also have is the Belbalab. But I think you should probably just have exactly one Belbalab in your list. I think you should always have that soulless one title. I think that's just a crazy value now with its really dramatic points decrease.
I mean, yeah, it's an upgrade card that costs 6 points. It gets you two extra hull on a Belbalab and the ability to get some rerolls if the enemy's shooting you and they're not in your firing arc. Really good value. The Belbalab pilot options are generally lower initiative, but you know, loading out Soulless One on Wat Tambor or General Grievous seems pretty good. Wat Tambor synergizes really well if you throw a good tactical relay on there. Synergizes well with Vulture and Hyena class fighters. So you can have a pretty strong list, you know, just running Wat Tambor, Soulless One, and the Kraken Tactical Relay, letting your ships retain some of their calculate tokens. You can bring a nice little swarm in and have some pretty good modification.
Right. I mean, so we've talked about, you know, three of the Separatist ships. They do still have the Sith Infiltrator, which was, you know, pretty powerful in the first half of 2019. But now, after the June points update, you know, they went up a little bit on the higher end, and the hate force power that a lot of their force users really relied on went up dramatically on the Sith Infiltrator. And so I don't think the Infiltrator is terrible, but it definitely went down in power for its points. I think fitting one in with some other, you know, your cheaper options, I think is still pretty good. I'm not sure you want to go all in on the Infiltrators anymore, though.
Yeah, and I mean, this just really limits the Separatists down to mostly one playstyle. In some way or another, you're going to value that, you know, cheap ship swarm options that you get with this faction. And one thing that just generally holds it back, too, is they don't really have any higher initiative options, you know, maybe just Darth Maul and the Sith Infiltrator. And I understand, like, that seems to be part of the faction's identity, is that they don't depend on higher initiative options. But in gameplay terms, that means they have an uphill battle there when you can, you know, run some pretty effective ace lists in the other factions.
All right. And speaking of aces in the other factions, I think we should move on to number five, the Fifth Order faction.
Was that a joke?
It was a joke. Sorry. First Order.
I'm leaving all that in.
All right. Yeah. So this is a faction, you know, you have a few very good aces that's always been backed up by some efficiency, you know, whether it's some generic silencers or special forces TIE fighters, or perhaps just some heavy duty upsilons, you know, protecting your important aces. You have a lot of options. With aces, you don't have too many options. It's probably Kylo or Quick Draw, but both are pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, if you're only going to have two ace options, these are about as good as it gets. Kylo's a really effective arc dodgy ace with, you know, a built-in force rating of two. So built-in ability to get a target lock and some kind of focus modification with, you know, having to use limited actions. Quick Draw obviously can shoot multiple times in a round, which can mean that she is pretty hard-hitting. And these ships both pair up well with some of the other options you have in the faction, whether that's more generic silencers, whether that's some TIE FOs now, which have gone down a little bit in cost. Prior to the points rebalancing, we were seeing Kylo pair pretty well with some Upsilons, but there have been enough changes now where that's not a list you can run anymore.
Yeah, I mean, so you could still do the two Upsilons in Kylo. You just really have no upgrades on that list. I think you're probably better off looking at some of their other ships. You know, the generic silencers are pretty good. The generic special forces TIE fighters are pretty good. And now the TIE FOs also went down in cost. So those are worth examining as well.
I think, though, at the end of the day, what's still holding the First Order back is, since they are technically a new faction, X-Wing, we saw some of their ships show up in First Edition, but they don't have that many ship options. And they don't really have any on the horizon that we know about. So this is something, I think, a faction that could quickly start to get outclassed by the Separatists as we see more releases for that faction. We need some new tools here for the First Order for them to catch up with the others.
Right. Here's to hoping there's something secret in the works.
All right. Now things are going to get interesting, though. We're up to the fourth position here, the middle position of our seven rankings. We've got the Rebels here.
Right, so Rebels were doing extremely well right before the points update, particularly Rebel efficiency. You know, that list got hit pretty hard, especially those B-Wings, Cassian and Leia. So you're probably not bringing as many B-Wings anymore, but you still, you know, this is a faction with a ton of options. So if you just ignore B-Wings, you still have a lot of other playable options.
Well, and, you know, since this faction has been around since the dawn of First Edition, you have so many pilot options in the Rebel faction, and I think that that's their greatest virtue. I think in terms of efficiency lists, from what I've seen so far, some of the factions we're going to talk about here in a minute have outclassed the Rebels now that we saw all those point adjustments, but you still got some really strong Rebel options. In the last points update, Wedge Antilles only went up 3 points, so 55 points, a really strong I-6 with, you know, one of the more powerful pilot abilities in the game. Leia saw points increase, but that crew card is still pretty effective and not so expensive that you can't fit it in your list now.
Right. I mean, if you're looking for an efficiency build that can still give aces a very tough time, you know, a Rebel list with Leia is still going to be a very strong option.
And I think of the three iterations of the Millennium Falcon we've seen so far, or the YT-1300, I think the Rebels still have the strongest variant.
Oh, yeah. You know, the Han Solo build went up in points, you know, just especially with the crews and upgrades it was using. But if you look at other pilots like Lando Calrissian, he's very good and doesn't really need too much upgrades to be pretty impactful.
So I guess the question would be, given that the Rebels have so many options, what's really holding them back here from moving up our rankings?
I mean, right now, I put them in the middle because I think they're probably pretty good, but I don't really know what their lists are going to look like. So I think what's holding them back is people have to do work and list build with them. There's not really an obvious route. But I think they have a lot of strong pieces. They're costed pretty fine. You know, if you look at Scum, you know, they have a lot of options, but they're just a little bit too expensive on a lot of options. Rebels don't really have that option. They just have to figure out what is the right combination of ships.
Right, so they've got pretty affordable values, and I think that is it at the end of the day. Of all the selections we made here for the rankings, I feel like the Rebels is the one that could move the most volatility for us. It's going to be a real question of seeing what else is trending and popular at these upcoming major tournaments, because I feel like once we have a better idea of what the other factions are bringing, the Rebels will be able to, you know, assemble their different pieces in a way that can counter that effectively.
All right, so moving on, this faction placed a lot higher than I would have thought. And that's because the playstyle that's, you know, the most successful with it is not really what I've been trying. If you told me, you know, before the points release, you know, to guess what kind of resistance build would be the most successful, I would have been pretty surprised to for it to be Andy Myers' you know, 4T70 builds to be the most successful resistance builds moving forward.
But I mean, it's interesting. Yeah, we do have the resistance here in our third place slot. And I think a big part of that is the efficiency you get out of T70s now, especially now that we've seen the efficiency of rebel lists go down. These four T70 lists are just really tough to play against.
Right. I mean, so the resistance used to be, you know, like the ace faction. That's all they did. Take all the high initiative pilots and throw them in a list. But a lot of that relied on the efficiency of the A-wings, and those guys went up pretty dramatically. So now you just got to look at those T-70s, and especially on the lower end, they went down, so they got even more efficient.
Well, and I think the big change there was Jess Pavic going down a point, which is a huge boost to the 4T-70 list. We had Andy Myers on the show a couple times in the past now. The core strategy of the 4T70 list is to have Jess Pava there, who has one recurring charge. She can spend it to reroll a bunch of dice equal to however many friendly ships she has nearby. And then she can also spend additional charges on an equipped astromech to get those rerolls again. And since she's doing this both offensively and defensively, you can get a pretty hard-hitting Jess, good action efficiency if you take a focus token and then get some rerolls to modify your attack. Or defensively, if you're getting shot at multiple times, you have the potential to reroll defense dice, which defensive mods are pretty hard to come by in X-Wing.
Right. Well, and then those like Red Squadron experts with, you know, heroic and a focus token, those are pretty durable themselves. You know, those make those 7 hit points go quite a long way as well.
Well, and there's a lot of reasons I wouldn't have expected this list to do well. And a big part of it is that all these ships are at initiative 3. Which, you know, I've been seeing the initiatives trend downwards a little bit. We have some pretty viable initiative 4 options competitively, but I would have thought that initiative 3, especially a list comprised exclusively of initiative 3 ships, wouldn't really stand a chance with all these strong higher initiative options.
Right, but I think, you know, with the durability of those T-70s, like, they get to live long enough that each of them gets to fire, and, you know, 4 3 dice attacks does a lot. We saw that with the rebel efficiency, and I think, you know, the resistance is kind of taking that crown of the top efficiency list, at least for right now.
And I mean, at, you know, 28 hit points total across all 4 of these ships, oftentimes your games are probably going to go to time, but it's going to be really hard for your opponent playing against you to get enough points through if you don't already kill them with all your 3 dice attacks. The iterations I'm seeing of this right now, we could still see other iterations throwing some different pilots, but, you know, having Jess with an R2 astromech, which you can fit now that she's gone down a point, and then 3 of those Red Squadron experts. If you're Carson, you're probably going to run heroic. If you're me and you're smart, you're going to run crackshot. But you got some decent iteration options here for this list.
Right. Okay. So what else is the resistance doing? Right now, I'm not so sure there's much else they're doing. I've been really experimenting with a lot of their other options, you know, particularly the new cards with the resistance transport, and I really haven't found anything working. You know, going back to the original ace archetypes, it just doesn't quite fit too well anymore with Lulo's dramatic increase. You know, Poe, Nian, even Elo, Asti, are still, you know, solid role player aces. It's just hard to have a pure ace list with resistance And then, you know, I could see there being a mix where you have one ace and then a bunch of efficiency, you know, just the lower end T70s. But it's probably not Poe in there because he's too expensive.
Well, right. And I think what we've really come to realize, having seen Lulo move from 38 points all the way up to 43 points, is I think in a big way, Lulo was the glue that held those resistance three ace lists together, where being able to get that super cheap efficiency where it could hit almost like a full point ace with, you know, nearly half the cost, that was strong. But it's hard, you know, when you have good ace options like Poe, Nian, and Ello, but you can't quite fit all of them in a list effectively. That's a really hard call here for the resistance. And since A-wings aren't quite as good anymore, even with those rear arcs, I'm not so fond of like Poe 3 A-wing builds anymore either.
Right. And so I've also tried, you know, looking at all those new crew, putting them on the resistance Falcon, you know, oh, maybe we'll play some aces mixed with a battleship. But the resistance Falcon have just really does not compare to the Rebel one very well at all. So it's got kind of two big problems. It's got the lower hit points, you know, just 8 hull and 3 shields. So 11 hit points versus 13. And then it's also got some pretty bad kind of maneuverability with the red boost and red rotate. And then it's only got 4 blue maneuvers. So my description of how the Falcon does is it's not really maneuverable enough to get it out of danger. It's going to land in those firing arcs. And then when it does, it doesn't have the hit points to survive there very long.
Well, I mean, when you look at the relative cost you're paying compared to the Rebel Falcon, you know, the Rebel Falcons, the pilots tend to go from the low end, they're in the low 70s, up to the high-end pilots like Han Solo. Those are going to be in the low 80s. With the Resistance Falcon, you see that just kind of trend down a little bit. You've got high-ish 60s on the low end, up to low 70s for the pilots. But by the time you load those pilots out in the Resistance with some of that Resistance crew, they're about as expensive as a Rebel Falcon, and you're probably still not getting as good a value. And, you know, 11 hit points for how much you probably are going to invest in a Resistance Falcon, 11 hit points isn't going to protect that investment very well.
Right. So it's kind of interesting, you know, even with, you know, a bunch of new crews, really the only thing the Resistance is doing is playing a bunch of T-70s. And that list is pretty good. So that's good enough to get them up to the third spot, even with everything else doing not so good.
All right, so now we're getting down to the top two factions in our list. And, you know, I'm going to make this one extra special because when we reveal the second place one, if you've been keeping count, you'll know the first place one. But these two factions, we bounced back and forth with a little bit, trying to determine which one was on the top here. I think we're pretty set in our determination right now until we see some more results from some big tournaments.
Right, it's kind of interesting. So I think more interested in the second one over the first, but when you look at just overall options, I think we have to do this order.
Yep. So, you know, we're going to put in second place the Republic, which really good for them, you know, being a brand new faction to the game. Most of their ship options were released very recently, so they don't have a lot of ships to choose from. But they've proven to be pretty effective, especially using all those Jedi in Ether Sprite 7Bs.
Right. They've risen pretty well with this past points update. And of course, Rico Lee joining the fight really helped a lot.
So to look at what the Republic is really bringing to the game right now, they honestly, I'd say, have the best ace options in the game. You've got Anakin, you've got Obi-Wan, you've got some really high initiative Jedi pilots in the Ether Sprite 7B. And even though we saw a points increase general to the 7B title, which made all the Jedi a little bit more expensive, I still think they're the best values you're going to get for ace ships in X-Wing.
Right. I mean, so Anakin did go up a little bit, but he's still just a completely powerful end game ship. You know, initiative 6 with a lot of powerful mobility options. He's got good modification through that force power and just a cool pilot ability. You know, you also have some pretty good end game ships if you're going for 7Bs with Obi-Wan or Plo Koon, who got kind of dramatic points decreases. If you're going 7B, their points decrease isn't as dramatic, but also, you know, pretty good options. And then what I think makes the Republic aces work is, you know, they had the 7Bs. Those were powerful options before. but now they got some pretty good budget aces that can still be pretty impactful to the board.
So one of the issues that the Republic had prior to the points change in June was that of the ace list they could run, there wasn't really a good like triple ace list option fitting three good aces in there. Effectively, that could be loaded out with the 7B title to make them offensively effective. And that was kind of a struggle for the Republic because other lists had good options for aces and that they could run, at least, you know, compared to the Empire, Empire could run a really good triple ace list. Well, now that we've gone past the points change, one of the cards that saw a pretty substantial decrease was calibrated laser targeting, which I guess we kind of scoffed at on the show, more or less. It was just a little too expensive to make it viable, but calibrated laser targeting lets you, when an enemy's in your bullseye and you're shooting, you can add a focus result, which generally synergizes well with the Jedi since they have the Force, so they can usually modify one focus result. But it was a little too expensive before the points change to be viable. Now that we've seen that decrease where you can run really high initiative other sprites without the 7B title, it's a pretty efficient way to give you kind of almost a Lulo level of efficiency where a ship is not that expensive, but it can hit like a more expensive ship.
Well, I think we have to change that terminology because I think that doesn't quite apply to Lulo anymore. But the calibrated laser targeting, you know, definitely gives these Jedi a completely different option. You, now you can go for the budget ace. And, you know, especially some of the, you know, higher initiative ones with more force powers like Obi-Wan are really good at, you know, getting through the cost of that calibrated laser, you know, burning through those force charges. It's not so bad when you have so many.
And I think with the addition of ships like Rico Lee, an initiative five kind of cheaper ace option who can hit pretty hard, that's really going to open things up for the Republic here, which is one of the big reasons I would put it up here in the second place on our list. You can now easily fit a 7B Jedi with a non-7B calibrated laser targeting Jedi and a pretty effective Rico Lee. Fit that in the list. It's probably got a pretty high skill floor, but it's going to have an even higher skill ceiling.
Right. I think, you know, instead of, you know, comparing budget aces to Lulo, I think Rick is the new one to compare it to.
On the other hand, though, the Republic has still some good efficiency options. I still like the value of a 42-point Initiative 2 Arc 170. That still seems like, honestly, of the efficiency ships in the game, this is probably one of the best values you can get. Lots of hit points, multiple firing arcs, a decent dial, but a really inexpensive cost.
Right, and if you want to go all in on the efficiency for the Republic, you know, Sinker with some arcs and some torrents is still a good option. You know, I'm not sure what the other N1 pilots are doing for the Republic just yet, but, you know, maybe there'll be another list using some of those. Padme's good. I'm just not sure what list she fits into yet.
But, you know, even still, I'd say for having, you know, the finite number of options here to build lists with, I think the Republic is doing pretty good.
Absolutely.
All right, so now we get down to our number one pick, and since you guys have probably been keeping track, I don't need to hide this anymore, that it is the Empire.
Right, so the Empire, I don't think they're the best at anything right now, but they're pretty darn good at just about everything. I think they have the deepest amount of diversity within competitive list options.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's all the major categories, like the general list archetypes. For almost all of them, the Empire has some pretty decent options. So, and they didn't get hit too hard by the points change in June. So looking over at their ace options, we've got a lot of really good high initiative ships you can do. The two ones that come to mind, the foremost are Darth Vader in the TIE Advanced X1 and Suderfell in the TIE Interceptor.
Right. I mean, so this is one of the best reasons to play the Empire is you get access to multiple Initiative 6 aces, Vader and Suntier. And, you know, those guys were doing very well before, and they really didn't go up that much in points. And then you can kind of fill that out with whatever third ship. I know Tim likes Duchess a lot there.
Oh, Duchess is so fun.
You know, you could fit a Whisper in there or maybe a support ship like a Lambda.
Yeah, like so many great options there and so many different ways to iterate, which I think is really important as a metagame gets established here. People have options. They can have a general archetype of a list, but then when they see other things face up against it, they can adapt that list to the metagame. And I think that's what's going to make the Empire one of the stronger options you have, the strongest.
Right. I mean, so their aces are very good, probably second only to the Republic. And then I think their efficiency is probably second best as well. You know, when you look at that TIE swarm, particularly the, you know, Inferno Squadron guys, backed up by Howl Runner, you know, this was a very strong list also, and only went up 1 point if you were using the swarm tactics. So still very strong. And what's great about the TIE swarm is that it's very good against other efficiency lists. You know, those two attack dice just really shred anything with low agility. If you're playing the Sinker Swarm against the TIE Fighters, I don't know if you get Sinker's effect even within that first turn very often.
And I think really TIE Swarms could be what gives lists like the Sinker Swarms or lists like even the Jess Pava and three other T-70s some trouble, because you can run pretty high initiative firing TIE fighters. They're not up there to the 5 and 6 range, but they can shoot pretty high, and they're easily going to be high enough to take out those initiative 3 or lower pilots.
Right. So you can fit, you know, 4 of them have initiative 4 or higher, and then you throw 2 swarm tactics in there. So everyone's shooting at initiative 5 or initiative 4. And so that's tough for a lot of other efficiency lists to deal with. And then, you know, it's also got the biggest insurance policy in the game of X-Wing included, an Iden Versio.
I was surprised to see that Iden didn't go up. You know, having that ability, even if it's once per game, basically canceling a shot when you know it's going to kill one of your ships, that's a huge game-swinging ability. Iden's got probably, you know, up there in the most powerful abilities, up there with Wedge. And you also have, you know, Howl Runner there as just the standard attack modifying support ship that also has that higher initiative you can leverage with swarm tactics.
Right. So I see the TIE swarm continue to be effective throughout this season. I think the Empire is also going to be doing pretty well with munitions. You know, they have a lot of pretty good munition carrying ships, maybe not a TIE Punisher, but TIE bombers, Alpha class Star Wings. These are kind of premier munition delivery systems. And we keep getting more and more munitions, so these are always going to be relevant.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, bombers are a solid, affordable platform, and still, even after Major Vinder went up 2 points in the Alpha class Starwing, I still think that's a great Initiative 4 option that can help compete with these Initiative 3 efficiency lists.
Right, and kind of the big wild card for the Empire is how impactful are their crew going to be? We did see some decreases in some of their crew options. But the Empire just has a lot of really good choices with crews. You know, there's Admiral Sloan, just crazy impactful, Stress Mechanics or Emperor Palpatine, you know, providing global force. Some of these really big, impactful crews really dictate your list and give the Empire just these really cool options.
Well, and, you know, cards like Admiral Sloan gives a mini swarm a way to help deal with the Jedi who, you know, if they get double stress, Jedi don't take stress to get their efficiency, but if they take 2 stress, that's really going to cripple them, not being able to use their force power. And, you know, I think Palpatine might be necessary for the Empire now that the Republic has probably the strongest ace options. They're going to need to be able to compete with all that force they're getting both offensively and defensively.
Right. It is kind of interesting when we look at all the top, you know, ace factions. We have the Republic, you know, looking at the First Order. Kylo is their main ace, and he's got the Force. And what's cool about the Empire is they can turn any of their aces into a Force ship if they, you know, just take a Lambda with Emperor Palpatine.
So, you know, given all these options that the Empire has, I think it's pretty obvious why this is our top pick of the 7 factions and the one we think will have the most sustaining success in the coming tournament season.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to revisit these rankings, you know, a month or two down the road, maybe as we're getting ready for Worlds or something. See, you know, if we were right or what dramatic shifts did occur.
And everyone who's listening, you know, let us know what your rankings are. You can head over to facebook.com/radioTCX. We'll have a link up to this episode, episode 174. And let us know what your rankings. Do they match up with ours? Do you value the Separatists and the Scum a little bit higher than we did? Let us know.
Hey, and don't take it personally. I want to rank the Scum and Separatists higher. If I could, I would.
But you're just too honest.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/radioTCX and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please go onto iTunes and leave us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the show and what others would be interested in listening. Those 5-star reviews are really important to keeping the show visible out there and letting people know that this show is worth listening to.
And if you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radiotcx and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means so much to us.
Again, folks, thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.